Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the Time of Truth. That's the right song before I'm going to share with you what God's put on my heart tonight. And I was all over the Bible this afternoon trying to find what to do. And sometimes God will let you get both of them in the barrel for a Sunday, but with me it's rare. Brother Delman told me years ago, he said, "Mike, get ready for one message at a time. You may not preach the next one. Just one message at a time, but you need the next message." And so that was good advice. My Uncle Lyle gave me some advice. He said, "Preach up and shut up." That's pretty good advice right there. I thought that was good advice. Most would say amen to that. I'm in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Going to just expositorily preach here. Just grab a few verses and share what the Lord's put on my heart. And this is for somebody here tonight. Maybe it's for the preacher. I preach to myself a lot. Maybe this is for me. But 2 Timothy chapter number 2. I'll begin in verse 1. When you found that, shout amen real loud for me. Amen. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." That's been the Upcoming Bible Institute's theme for years. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Father, I love you, and I thank you for this night, Lord, and I'm humbled to stand behind this desk again, God, on this sanctified ground. I pray, Lord, that you'd use me tonight, fill my mouth, guard my tongue, preach me inside the bounds of this holy writ. God, preach to your people through your preacher, Lord. God, let me have ears to hear, hearts to receive. God, just let me share what I believe, Lord, with all the heart you shared with me this evening in prayer, Lord. God, do your work, Holy Ghost. Touch this place with your power. Thank you for the blood. Praise God, and thank you for not giving up on us. Yes. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Touch tonight for thy sake. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I'm preaching to the choir tonight. I know that. Bible students, this isn't unfamiliar territory. 2 Timothy, Pat said, "What are you doing tonight?" I said, "Something I've done 100 times, but it's still the Word of God. It's fresh. It's fresh bread. It's got the fresh oil on it." God whispered this in my heart in prayer this afternoon. I read all over the Bible, and when I knelt down to pray, I believe this is what the Lord would have us to have. Paul here's writing his last letter. He's about to die, and he knows it. Within the year, Paul's going to be dead from the time he's writing this letter. He's not going to go far. This is it. I mean, Paul's not going any farther this far as he's going to go. He's going to write this letter, and he's going to die for the cause of Christ. They're going to take him to the chopping block. They're going to lay him down. They're going to chop his head off from his torso. It's going to roll into a basket, and Paul's going to accelerate into the portals of glory. He said to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. He's going to have to leave this old body here. It can't go with him. Bless God, because flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. But glory to God. His soul's going to step into the portals of glory, into the place we call home. It's the land we call Beulah. It's the place I'm going one of these days. I'm glad, praise God, for the promise of the Word.
He's going to die, and he knows it. You're going to die too. We just don't believe it. Death's real close for some, a little farther away for others, but it's sure for all. Sure for all. You young folk won't die one of these days. My pawpaw said I couldn't get over it. And when I was a young boy, I thought it was the stupidest thing I ever heard anybody say. He said, "Son, you're not ready to live till you're ready to die." How do you do that? By the blood. That's how you get ready to die, by the blood. And then you're ready to live once you're ready to die. Paul's ready to die right here. Here's what he says to his... Now he's talking to Timothy. He calls him his son. He says, "Son in the Lord." There's always a soft spot in your heart
to the one that you were saved under their ministry, or if you were away from the Lord, out of fellowship of God, and you come back to where God would have you be, into the fold, and you find your place in the Lord. That man that was bringing that bread that day, that bread's just sweeter than most loaves. And that's hard to explain, but you know what I'm talking about. The one that's preaching tonight, you got saved, there's a soft spot in your heart for that fella. Or the one that witnessed to you, or like Sister Andrea that's led so many of the Lord of late, there's a soft spot in her heart for her. That'll always be there. It'll not go away. Paul calls him son because he's close to it. He's wanting him to do what Paul knows is going to need to be done when he's gone. I hope we're living that way in our lives and in our family and in our churches, that we know that something's going to need to be done when we're gone. We act sometimes like we're going to be here for another. We're going to live like we're leaving tomorrow, playing like we're going to be here another 100 years. He said, "Son Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." I got stirred up on that this afternoon. I got to thinking about that. I thought, grace got me into this thing, and grace is going to carry me through it. Praise God. Hey, His grace is sufficient tonight, by the way, for whatever you're going through or dealing with. You're saved by grace through faith. It's both parts of that. He gives it to you, by the way. You're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. Hey, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift that God's given to us. It's grace that He gave to us. His grace is still amazing tonight, by the way. Aren't you glad for the grace of God? What if it had give you justice instead of grace? Hey, where would we be tonight? We wouldn't be sitting in a pew. We wouldn't enjoy the blessings of the Lord tonight. The sweet Spirit of God upon us. No, we'd be in a bad way if it wasn't but for the grace of God. Paul said, "I am what I am by the grace of God." That's what we are. You're not anything on your own. I despise that saying, a self-made man. I say hogwash every time I hear that. You're not self-made. You can't do anything apart from Him. In Him we. For you visitors, you'll get used to that when I shout that around here. Sometimes I just shout Acts 17:28 and they know what to say. It's by the grace of God. He said, be strong in this grace. That means it has to be exercised. It has to be utilized. It can't be ignored or abused. If you're going to be strong in it, it's going to be active or activated. You're going to participate in the grace of God in order to be strength. Be strong in that grace. I started to use this verse this morning. It escaped me. The Lord knew I was going to need it tonight. He said to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He told Peter there. Peter's writing to us. To grow in that grace and that knowledge. Brother Junior asked me the other night, what does that mean to grow in that grace and in that knowledge? Here's what it means. Most of us, you know what it takes? It takes, in order for us to grow in grace, it means that we have to use the grace. And we use it, and if we just used it for salvation, then we'd just be coasting along right now. But to really grow in that grace, that means that grace has got to be multiplied. There'll be grace and more grace, but that means that we're going to need that grace, and it's sufficient in those difficult times, and that's what we don't like. How could Paul say be strong in grace? Because Paul's about to die, and he knows he is, and he knows what he's talking about. There's some men can preach about things that I can't. They've experienced, they've been down that road, they have lived that. I haven't lived it. I know what the book says about it, but I have not experienced any. So I can't share that grace with someone. There's something about to take place here. This is the time to say it, Zelma. There's something about to take place here in this church that I ask about. It's been over a year ago. It's at least over a year and maybe a little longer. I asked this. I said, for our body of believers, we have an unusual amount of widows in this small church. And I was thinking about this, the widow's mite, not M-I-T-E, but M-I-G-H-T. Because it's the widow's mite, the widows can share. And so Sister Zelma has agreed that she's just going to make this available. And it's up to you. You don't have to participate if you don't want to. But she's going to try to get together with the widows. Why is that?
Because they have praised God. Some can share in that grace that others have not tasted of or grown in that, but they can grow stronger in that grace. They can grow in that grace in us because they're in that club. They're not in there by choice. But it's what life dealt them, and it's where they're at. And you know what? There's strength in numbers. And when someone's experienced what you have in your life, you can be strengthened together.
That'll be in the near future. He said, be strong in this grace. You're going to need this grace. I didn't think I was going to preach on grace tonight. I want to preach on the Savior soldier. That's what I had on my heart when I left home. He said, commit that to faithful men. Hey, the things you've heard of me, you've heard the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Hey, Paul's saying, hey, Timothy, you've heard some things about me, and you know it's true. You know what I've done. You know how I've lived. You know what I've written. At this particular time, he's writing still. You know the gospel. You know the mysteries that God has revealed to me, and I've shared the mysteries of the gospel, the mystery of Christ. You know these things that I've shared with others. Timothy, you know it. Commit that thing that you've heard of me to faithful men. Who? Faithful men. An unfaithful man's like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. He's not very good for nothing. But commit it to a faithful man. Give it to a man that's going to take it and do something with it. Bless God. We need some men that's going to take it and do something with it. Not just take it and lay it down. Not just leave it there. But Brother Danny, do something with it. Faithful men. And Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night men. Revival men. We need you to commit this, Timothy. Just any old man won't do right here. What are we going to need? We're going to need some soldiers. That's what we're going to need. God recruits us pretty heavily in this army, but I want you to know it's a voluntary service. He does the drawing. He does the calling. He does the convicting. The wooing to get us to come, but you'll volunteer. You won't be in here. The Savior's soldiers. Do these things, Timothy, and then here he comes what he says. Thou, Timothy, you. I want you to do something. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Because no man that warreth when the battle's over, Sister John is saying about it, when the battle's over and the victory's been won. Praise God. This is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We're overcomers, by the way. Not underachievers. Brother James, we are. We have overcome. How did we overcome? By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. That's how we come in. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. God said, I'll take you. I'll take you and I'll make you a soldier. We don't. Soldiering's hard. Soldiering's difficult. You get hurt. You get wounded. Some even die. Paul died. Paul was about to die. Paul died. Many die for the cause of Christ. I don't agree with their theology. But there's in our own Easter service, sunrise, resurrection day in Sri Lanka, just worshiping. Some nut job walked in there with a bomb strapped to himself and blew himself into hell and sent all them to heaven that were saved. That's the way it works. Don't you know the moment that goes off and he opens his eyes in hell, being in torments like the rich man, and cries out and thinks, I was wrong. I was wrong. They lied to me all those years. I've seen this. This is going to upset somebody's apple cart right here. But then when they went to raid the place where they was making the bombs, there's 6 children killed in that raid. Last time I heard on the radio. And here's what I told my wife coming home. I said, you know what? You want to see the grace of God? Them babies died before they could be brainwashed and believe in that ungodly life. an Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist, and God took them home and spared them from a life of punishment and torment. Say, so I don't see the grace in that. That's grace all the way. But you're going to have to do something, Timothy. I want you to endure hardness. Do you know that God's not concerned with your happiness tonight? It's your holiness that He's worried about. Be ye holy, for I am holy. I wish I could say I've always made that mark and I've walked in that line, but I couldn't say that tonight. But here's what, that's what he's concerned about. Now, happiness, I heard Freddie Melton say this. I never forgot. It's been 20 years ago. Freddie said, happiness depends on happenings and everything that happened don't make you happy. That's exactly right. That's right. That's mountain wisdom right there. But the joy of the Lord's my strength. See, my joy doesn't depend. Brother John, my joy isn't hinged on my happiness. Because there's a lot of days I'm not happy. But I'm telling you, if God gets a stirring on me, there's a joy down in there. And it's still there. And that's my strength. So you're going to need something, Timothy. I want you to endure hardness. And what's he saying right there? He's saying this. It's going to be hard. It's in a cakewalk. And I'm not seeing multitudes saved today because maybe I'm telling them this. I'm saying, look, if you want to be a Christian, God will save you, but it ain't going to be easy. Some people's family's going to disown them when they get saved and start living for the Lord. Some's going to lose their job because they're going to require something of them that their conscience and the voice that speaks to conscience, being the Holy Spirit, says you can't have it. And there's going to be things that God said you can't have this and you can't have it. I'm telling you, it's not a cakewalk. It's difficulty. Why? We are in a war. Are you still with me? Here's what the Lord whispered in my heart. I'll do this in just a few minutes. I'm enlisted, and it's we have to endure it. We persevere through the hardness as a good soldier. That's what good soldiers do. Good soldiers follow the. Here's what they do: they follow orders. They just follow orders. They don't question it. They just do it. That's why they want to take men. They want old men like us. Like once you get a certain age, it used to be 26. I don't know what it is now, but they wouldn't take you into boot camp once you reach a certain age because your mind's made up. You don't listen to them. You look at them and say, I ain't doing that. But they challenge the young men. They do things to you in boot camp that never goes away the rest of your life. You have it. There's things that I catch myself. One of them's eating with a big spoon. You just well throw every teaspoon in the house away. I wouldn't eat with one of my life depending on it. They just can't get enough on it. Eat with a tablespoon. Because they said, that's what men eat with. Everybody sitting at my table thought there's a man. Throw the teaspoons away. Give me a tablespoon. That's just one little silly thing that never left me. But there's a multitude of things that once you're in there, they get in your head. And them things never go away. And you learn to follow orders. You don't ask why. If they say, get up, you get up. They say, put your clothes on, you put them on. They say, run out there in your skivvies and run around the compound for 30 or 40 minutes. That's what you do. You just hit half out there and jump, take a run. They say, run a mile, you run a mile. They say, stop. That's what you stop. They just do things like that. Pretty soon, you're just waiting on somebody to say something. You're not doing nothing until somebody says something. What are you doing? I'm just waiting on the next order. And this is pretty accurate. If it moves, salute it. And if it don't, paint it. That's pretty accurate. That's what they have you do. And I know someone told my son, said, Coast Guard's not real boot camp. I said, tell that boy to sign up when he's 18 years old and let's see if it is. They'll drown you, bucko. They'll throw you in 40 foot of water and not a life jacket on and say, swim for an hour, hour and a half. And we'll tell you when you can get out. Follow orders. That's what good soldiers do. It's not God's suggestions. It's His commands. He said, love one another. Not a suggestion. A command. Esteem others better than yourself. That's not very Baptist, but it's biblical.
Here's what the soldiers does or do. A soldier follows the order. Here's what they're going to tell you to do. Guard something. They're going to give you a weapon. They're going to stand you on a post. And they're going to say, guard this. If anybody comes up and they can't answer you correctly, just shoot them. They better have the proper ID, the identification. Brother Ron knows what I'm talking about. War vet, Vietnam vet right there. And you stay here till someone relieves you. When might that be? It don't matter. All you need to know is there you are and don't you move until someone comes to relieve you. Stay with me. You know what we should guard as a good soldier? Number one, we guard our hearts. You better guard your heart because your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Your own heart can deceive you into thinking that this is right and that's not. And it can be exactly wrong. Why? Because it's desperately wicked. Why? Because it's not the things that go into the man that defile the man, but it's the things that cometh forth from the man that defile the man. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So it's easy to say things. We need to guard the heart. Put the post up. Follow the order. I'm guarding this thing. Hey, here's what he said. The psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he will not hear me. I said this afternoon in prayer, God, purge all the iniquity from my heart that you'll hear me. There it is. Guard my heart. Number two, you start that. That's an individual thing. I cannot guard John Ray's heart or Johnny's or Brother Grover's, anyone else's. You can't guard mine. You cannot. Wade, you can't guard Bryce's heart. Now, we would like to guard our children's heart, but you can't do it. But you can guard yours. That means that what's there is what God would have there. Why would I do that? Because is it going to be easy? No, it's going to be difficult. Why? But you're going to endure hardness. Do it, Timothy. You're going to need to. I'm leaving you, son. Guard your heart. Number two, guard your home. I wish I could remember who said this. I've forgotten who it was. He said, as goes the home, so goes the church. And as goes the church, so goes the nation. If someone knows who said that, tell me so I can write it down next time. I'll give him credit for it. I think it's a very profound statement. We guard our homes. There's some things worth fighting for. Your home is that. Why would you say that? You know what's the first thing God established in this world after He made it all? The home. There it is. You know why the devil fights so hard against that? Because if he can shipwreck that, friend, he can tear a lot of things down. Oh, God, help me, Lord, for keep me in the bounds. This idea, and I know right here I'll get red faces on Facebook over this, but this idea that two daddies can raise a child and it be a proper home is contrary to the Bible. If this idea that two women, two mamas, can raise a child in a home and it be a proper home is contrary to the Word of God. Now, I know society says that's not right. But they're wrong, according to the Word of God. I tell you, heaven and earth will pass away. My Word will never pass away. I'm going to stand on the Word. You can stand wherever you want to. I don't think He's missed one yet. He's not going to start now. I would to God that the Lord would open their eyes and they could see. And they could be convicted in their heart of their sin, but if they've been turned over to a reprobate mind according to Romans 1, and that's why they want it stricken from the airways and behind the pulpits, if they could just get that pushed out of the way, it would seem like they could justify the rest of it. But if we could just get God, if they've been turned over to a reprobate mind, the Bible, that word means rejected.
They won't be saved. You're talking predestination. No, I'm talking about being reprobate.
Difference. We're predestined with a choice. That's the plan of God.
He predestined that from the beginning of time.
But you still, you'll never convince me other than this. I'm a whosoever will guy. You can't talk me out of that. There's too much of the Bible that says it. I'm a whosoever will. Good preacher friend of mine lost a fella. He said, you crossed the line. He's on television. And this guy heard him preach. And he said, I'm a whosoever will guy. And the guy called him up. He's a 5-point Calvinist. He said, you just crossed the line. He said, I didn't cross it with the word of God. Because he said, whosoever will. Guard the home. You know what the sad part is? The children that's raised in this environment are going to see, they're going to be taught all their life that there's nothing wrong with that lifestyle. And so they're going to multiply. Have you noticed this on television programs? They can't have a program without sticking someone in there that's living the alternative lifestyle. Every show. Or a majority of the shows. Guard your home. Guard your children. I'm nervous as a cat now. I've got a house full of babies. All these children I consider like, I know what Delmer talked about all those years. I didn't understand it until I became it. I know it now, and you don't know it unless you become it. And if you ever become it, you know it, Brother John. You know when the children in your fold are your babies. That's just how you feel. God puts that in the pastor's heart. You won't ask for that. It's too difficult. But now, I'm just going to tell you, now I've got a real soft spot in my heart, and I'm very concerned about what one Colin Nathaniel McCoy is going to face in the next 20 years. I don't know how long God's going to leave old Pa around, but I know this. Bless God, I'm not leaving my post. I'm not leaving my post! I'm going to guard my house! But I've got to guard my heart first. And if I guard my heart, then I'm capable of guarding my house. Guard your house. Guard your home. Number three and lastly tonight, here's what we've got to guard. And you help me guard this. You're the soldiers of this particular battalion. This company. We guard the house of God. I need help. Randy needs help. The deacons need help. All our folks, our laymen, our teachers, our children, we need help guarding the house of God. This kind of preaching is out of date and out of style. I'm not looking to win a popularity contest. I gave up on that a long time ago. Timothy, we could put our name, you could put your name right there and it'd be accurate. Dennis, Endure Hardness, Jason Jr. These men right here, Jared Bryce, Carter, Endure Hardness. Endure Hardness, Parker. Joe Ian. Girls, Endure Hardness. Endure Hardness, Katie. Endure Hardness. And guard. Guard your heart. Guard your home. Guard the house of God. The things come slipping in. Brother Danny said it in Sunday school this morning. I thought, this is just flashback on this. But he said in Sunday school this morning that someone said. That's all it takes. Preacher friend of mine
was had offended someone. And I don't know whether he's right or wrong. I've offended a lot of people. I didn't intentionally do it, but I've done it. You probably have too. So someone wanted to discuss this with me. Here's what I said. Hold it. That's my pal. Done. Not listening. Mm-mm. Devil's good at what he does. All it takes is for you to take that thing in, the devil to twist it in your mind, and you to expel it from your mouth, and the next thing you know, there's a problem in the house. Guard it. I'm at my post. I don't know your post, but I know mine. You know yours. Someone asked me something about it the other day. I said, I don't know your vineyard. If you tell me this is where God, if God is sending you here, I had a fellow that attended this church. He was here he might have been here before I was a deacon. He was for sure here before I began to preach. And for years we were together. And he said to me, I've got to go. Don't be upset with me. I said, I won't be up. You tell me God is moving you and you've got another vineyard God has told you to go to. Who am I to say no? Hey, listen, but as long as this is my post and you know where your post is, bless God, the order is this. Endure the hardness as a good soldier and stand your post. Don't give it up. Give no place to the devil. Don't back up. Don't punt. Don't turn around. Don't lay down. Bless God, just stand your ground. Say, this is my post. My order is to stand and I'm guarding my post. You can do whatever you want to. Because it's like Matt Blanton and I talk on a regular basis. And we said something the other day. I said, hey, I'm just playing in my own puddle. And you got yours. And you know where it's at. And you know what it is. And you guard it. Devil, you can't have my heart. I give that to Jesus. Greater is He than is in me, than he that is in this world. You're saying you got a perfect heart? No, but I'd like to have one. One day. How about guarding your home? I'm afraid I've allowed some things in, especially on television or on the airwaves or on the internet, whatever. So we become accustomed, we become desensitized to things. Guard my home. Guard the house of God. We've got the police here tonight. Comes, I appreciate Brandon coming, standing in here and guarding for us. But I appreciate the men at the door that helped guard. That had men at the door at Antioch. That fella that only shot the girl in the parking lot that had ever gotten the building. I appreciate you doing that. Another synagogue was shot up somewhere, California or somewhere. It's just one thing. Like I said, I want to kill a bunch of Jews. Picking on the wrong bunch, buddy. God said, I'll bless them that bless you and I'll curse them that curse you. Say, hey, they got to be saved just like us. You're exactly right. But you better leave them alone. God deal with them. How are you guarding? What kind of are you? The Savior's soldier. We ought to do it because He chose us to be a soldier. Come on, Randall, give us a song, brother. I'm finished. Isn't this something that He chose us to be a soldier? We stand at our feet. Brother Randall, lead us in a song. You need to pray. You're welcome to come. The altars here, by the way, are never closed. They're always open for business. We stand at our feet. What song you got?
Page 56.
They're always open for business. We stand at our feet. What song you got?
Page 57.
They're always open for business. We stand at our feet. What song you got?
Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth. Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.